The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Sal Tartaglia, and Marianne Castello. Talking everything sports, everything Philly style. Liberty Bell Smack, right here. Right now.
That's right. We are back live for the first time. We've been playing archive shows, and we are so happy to be in the studio today. You are listening to the Liberty Bell Smack, the lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. We're here every Thursday evening, primetime drive time in the East from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you forgot, can explain, you can listen to us five ways, whichever works best for you. You can tune right in here to WWDB AM Talk 860 right out of Philadelphia. You're not in Philly? No worries. You can find us on HD2 radio station 97.5 or download the WWDB radio app and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Or go to WWDBAM.com and click the listen live. All that's not good enough. You could call the listen or call to talk to us at 888-329-3306. I am Marianne Castello, one of your hosts for Liberty Bell Smack. And I know our host is sitting there waiting, and he is a broadcast vet born in Pittsburgh but raised in sunny L.A. You know him from his years in the ring with Extreme Professional Wrestling on TV. He's got over 17 years behind the mic from San Diego to Los Angeles with SiriusXM, the SB Nation American Forces Network, and now Philly on WWDBAM. As well as the Saucy Spin online radio show and the Breaking It Down podcast. If it's sports, he's done it or he knows all about it. Let's welcome our host, Mr. Mark Mancini. Hi, Mark.
Well, it's nice. They almost gave us a 2-month vacation. And Laura said, we got to get back in the studio. You're that good.
Oh, you're sweet. You're sweet. You know what? That you mentioned being in the studio, I know somebody who's right in that studio. And let's welcome him in. He is a product of the schools and playing fields of Drexel Hills, Delaware County, by way of Southwest Philadelphia. He's been in the Navy. He's been in the construction industry and was a nuclear medicine tech. And while doing all of that, he haven't had time to compile over 30 years of highlights and stats of the World Series games and published his first book, The World Series Chronology. While doing press for the book, he developed a taste for broadcasting. And here he is. Let's welcome our other host, Sal Tartaglia. Hey, Sal.
Hey, man. We missed you. Hey, Philly. I just want to really quick say with respect.
Are you there?
I think he's figuring out his checkbook, how much that money is going to cost in November.
Can you hear me? You can't hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say real quick about that book. I just reduced the price. So if anybody's interested, it's available on Amazon. I believe you'll like the read.
Well, that's good. We haven't been in the studio for a while. How are you guys doing?
I'm just waiting around to die like most people.
Sal!
Oh, my God.
I guess that's why we call it Liberty Bell Smack.
Good.
We need to smack them around a bit.
Yeah.
And keep them in line. I mean, it's been so long. I mean, I was out cruising and touring and I'm back. Mark, yeah. What were you doing?
I was trekking through a bunch of cities doing some shows and stuff and still continue to do that. And think of you when you came back and you were out there on cruises signing autographs and I don't know where Sal was. He was somewhere in the Delaware River. But now he's saving up, man. He's moving that book to get that wedding paid for.
Well, that's what I was doing. I was enhancing my blogs from the website and paying attention to that almost three sweeps in a row that since Rob Thompson took over. So I was enthralled. I was enthralled.
Well, you know what I think he needs to do, Mark? He needs to start getting his little dance steps ready for his daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be picking on him from now till the wedding to make sure he's doing that.
It's like riding.
Oh, yeah.
It's like riding a bike. Well, we have our guests waiting in the room. So right now we are going to go to our commercial sponsors who help us every week. And if you're interested in being a sponsor, all you do is have to drop us a line at libertybellsmack@gmail.com. And we'd love you to join our family right here. So we'll be right back right after this.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft, call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Hey Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Lady's Choice, so...
Okay, well if it's Lady's Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup, Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
My name's Yvette Blake. I'm the author of Cassie's Miracle. When I'm in Philadelphia, I listen to WWDB Talk AM, Talk 860, the Liberty Bell Talk Show.
And we are back right here on WWDB. Listening to Liberty Bell Smack. I'm one of your hosts, Marian Costello, along with Mark Mancini and Sal Tartaglia. Hey, guys, are you ready to bring in our first guest so we could have some more fun?
Absolutely.
I'm ready. I mean, Yvette got us going with that. She's talking smack, too, in Philly.
Sounded like it, too, I have to tell you. All right, where our guest is a master storyteller, a seasoned book writer, ghostwriter, and an experienced editor for over a decade. He's a Pennsylvania native who attended the School of Journalism in Penn State University and is a graduate of Millersville University of Pennsylvania with a bachelor's degree in speech communication and broadcast option. He has worked as a photographer, editor, and reporter for various news outlets, including ABC, NBC, New York Daily News, The New York Post, WPMT Fox 43, and WGAL News 8. You may have seen some of his coordinated breaking news coverage, such as the Afghanistan withdrawal, Hurricane Ida devastation, COVID-19 pandemic, and George Floyd protests, to name a few. Do you believe in ghosts? Well, our guest was also a ghostwriter for more than a dozen books, and that includes topics on true crime, leadership, and disability inclusion. He is an author and has published his own books. The Microsoft Story, How the Tech Giant Rebooted Its Culture, Upgraded Its Strategy, and Found Success in the Cloud. Trump U, Promises, Lies, and Corruption, My Battle with Donald Trump's Fake University. And to his most recent book, Playing Through the Pain, Ken Caminiti and the Steroids Confession That Changed Baseball Forever. He received a starred review in May 2022 from Publishers Weekly, which read, drawing from almost a decade of interviews with Caminiti's teammates and coaches, Good's narrative is decidedly unsparing, but it offers crucial context to the steroids era that led Caminiti to go public about his usage and to call out hypocrisy in a sports where he alleged at least half the guys were using. This is a must read for baseball fans. Well, he's known to change newsroom culture and is bringing his enthusiasm and passion right here in Philly to possibly talk smack that might even make that Liberty Bell ring. Let's welcome Dan Good to Liberty Bell Smack. Hey, Dan.
Hi there. That was quite the introduction.
Well, thank you. You have a lot to write about.
Yes.
Unbelievable. You know, Dan, I'm going to throw a couple questions, and I know Sal will have a few, too. First of all, thank you very much for being with us in Philadelphia after a seven-week hiatus doing archives. But first of all, you know, the New York Daily News, NBC News, ABC News, you know, starting in New York, it's almost like starting at the top. It's almost like going from high school to the major leagues, and you bypass the minor leagues. where you didn't start, and I don't want to knock Cheyenne, Wyoming, or Spokane, Washington, or any of these, but when you start in New York like that, where do you go from there?
It's a tough thing. It's a tough racket. I actually had a couple of years in Atlantic City, New Jersey, that really helped me establish myself before I went to New York. So that was a big thing. But New York's tough. You know, it's a really tough bubble to break into. It's a tough bubble to stay in. You know, you see people bouncing around back and forth. So everywhere you go, you know people who already work there or who worked with you previously. It's a really interesting place.
Yeah, and when you look at where you started, I mean, we've talked about this before, and, you know, how did you get that? Because we all, you know, look for that opportunity. I mean, with knowledge and expertise, it comes down to one word is timing, where a door opens up, somebody likes what you're doing, and they'll, you know, refer you to other people. What got you into the realm of things there in New York? Who gave you the opportunity?
It really came from working overnights. You know, that was my way in. There was an overnight opening at the New York Post for homepage editor. I applied to it. I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to work there and took it and ran with it. You know, worked there for 2 years on overnights, worked at ABC News 2 years on overnights. You know, so it was 4 years of overnight shifts that really helped establish me in New York City. And, you know, without that, I don't know if I get my way in. It's really tough to break into in that way. And, you know, just taking the shifts that no one else wanted. That's really what it boiled down to.
Sal?
Dan, you know, I have a lot of things here I want to speak to you about, but before I lose my train of thought, I want to get right to, you know, your latest book coming out, Playing Through Pain. And for the listeners that don't know, it's about Ken Caminiti, an all-star who played for Houston and San Diego Padres, I believe, and was a steroid user and was one of the first to come out. I remember that confession he had in Sports Illustrated. I believe they had a picture on the cover of him leaning on a Harley Davidson, if I remember correctly. And I love Ken Caminiti. He was stocky. He was Italian. He was a third baseman. You know, a lot of things I can relate to. And, you know, I was, in the beginning, my attitude has softened. But, I mean, you know, I was against all the cheaters because it wasn't fair to those that came before them. But I mean, when Caminiti came out and told the story, you know, it was accepted with open arms. I mean, Canseco was vilified when he talked about it, but not Caminiti so much. And maybe it was because he passed away right away. Maybe there wasn't enough time, but I don't remember any backlash even immediately after the article published. And it was around the same time, if you don't recall, Dan, that I think Lyle Alzado was a Raider by then, famous for the Denver Broncos, a linebacker, a beast without the roids. He became a whole other animal with it. And he also died, I believe, a little bit after Ken, maybe around the same time. So I'm just curious why his story was met with open arms, and yet Canseco was, you know, demonized.
I think there was some sympathy toward Ken because of the issues he'd faced. You know, he had substance abuse problems. He was trying to get his life in order. He was trying to live his honest truth. Whereas Jose Canseco was, you know, really trying to burn things down. You know, he had an axe to grind. He was mad that baseball didn't give him a job. You know, he promised to name names, and Ken never did. Ken never named names, even though he could have. And Jose Canseco did. And, you know, I think both of them contributed to that culture changing. You know, the fact that both of them came out both in May 2002, right around the same time, and both talked about steroids in baseball in a way that was credible. It really forced those dominoes to start to fall. But, you know, Ken's confession was a huge moment for baseball, changing its culture and confronting the reality that the game was awash with steroids at that time.
That makes perfect sense. I noticed that you became a big baseball fan in the 90s. I was reading some of your bio. It's when your dad introduced you to baseball cards. I still have some from the late 60s. And it's amazing. But the generational connection with baseball, I believe, is stronger than in other sports. But it was in the 90s. That's around the time we had Dave Hollins. And I believe he was like our version of Caminiti, you know, strong jaw, stocky third baseman, power hitter, clutch. But I'm just curious, and a table game. I had one too in football. Do you remember electric baseball, electric football? Remember they vibrated around?
Yeah.
But when your dad introduced you to these cards and this this game, AB, whatever you called it.
ABBA.
Yes. Did that influence the writing of Playing Through Pain at all? Did the connection to baseball, or was it just a separate yearning of yours?
I think it did contribute. You know, I think it made me a bigger fan of baseball. It made me a bigger fan of some of the players. You know, my dad introduced this game to me in 95, 96, and Ken was on my team. I actually found the score sheets I kept, you know, in the past couple of years that I had from the 90s, and I have my roster, and here's myself writing Caminiti, you know, as 25 years ago in my lineup. So I definitely think that it contributed. It rounded out my fandom because you have baseball cards, you have SportsCenter highlights, you have APA, you have all these different things contributing, and they all, you know, factored in because back then you couldn't just watch any game you wanted. You know, you had to wait till your team was on Sunday Night Baseball. You had to wait for that one specific minute in SportsCenter when it was going to be on the highlights. And if you missed it, you had to watch the entire episode all over again. So it was really interesting to appreciate baseball and embrace the game through those highlights and, you know, being able to become a fan that way.
You're younger than me, but you don't remember prior to ESPN, there was This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen.
Yeah.
And that was our SportsCenter. That was great. So, yes, you do what you can. We didn't know we were without, so we didn't feel like, you know.
Exactly. But,
times have certainly changed.
When I was early in my career, I actually interned at the George Michael Sports Machine. So I got a taste of that. You know, you get to see, you know, what sports media was like and what fandom was like back then. It was different. It wasn't as easy to find things about your team if they weren't a local team. You had to, you know, read the box scores in the newspaper and, you know, wait for those little highlights to pop up because you weren't just inundated with information all the time like you are now.
You had more dynasties, more loyalty. Free agency was, you know, something else I didn't want. But, you know, the older you get, you sort of accept things. For instance, I was against the DH, but because Harper hurt his elbow, I was so glad we had it because he was still able to play. So, you know, time heals all wounds.
Yep.
Mark, your thoughts?
I want to talk about, you know, Jose Canseco, you know, and not getting, you know, brought to the forefront. But I think the real guy that really has been brought to the forefront on the whole thing is Bud Selig. He was the commissioner of the league. The sport was dead in 94. We had the strike, and the slogan, if you guys remember, was "Chicks dig the long ball."
Yeah.
So he had a front row seat when McGuire and Sosa were battling and trying to resurrect the sport that was dying. And when you look at it, guys like Clemens and Barry Bonds, Pete Rose, these guys have all led, you know, in hits and in Cy Youngs and home runs are being vilified here, but Bud Selig was driving the getaway car out of the bank here. Isn't he an accessory to the crime?
He definitely is. I mean, he was overseeing baseball when this was happening. He didn't take a hard stance against it. He didn't make a big deal about it. If he did have issues, he didn't bring them up because money was good for the league and fans were good for the league and fans loved home runs. So he didn't say anything. And, you know, he wants to have this revisionist history of I cleaned up the game and I really tried. He sat and let this happen for years and years and years. And then when the Hall of Fame comes around and just puts him in without even a second consideration, when all these players are blocked, the players who are using are blocked, but the guy who oversaw the game is just waltzing into the Hall of Fame. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Not only that, when the guy saved your sport, and then you're throwing them under the bus, because I thought what Barry Bonds and all those guys did was save a sport that really today, when you look at it, you know, now we've got, you know, a ghost runner at second base. We've got past a pandemic a little, where we've got past a 7-inning double headers and everything, but still the sport is approaching 3 hours. They're trying to, you know, move it to the point where pitchers got to pitch to three batters and everything. How does this sport, when you rank the four sports, you know, where does this sport land? Is it behind hockey? Is it behind football? Is it behind basketball?
I mean, I definitely think it's behind basketball and football at this point. You know, you look at the energy behind football, the energy behind basketball. I don't think it's behind hockey at this point, but it's definitely fallen. You know, you look at 25 years ago, you look at the home run chase, Maguire, Sosa, everybody was watching this thing. You know, I don't think there are players, there are stars in Major League Baseball who most people don't know who they are. Whereas in basketball and football, I think that's a little bit different. I think basketball and football have done a really nice job of marketing and getting people excited. And I don't know that baseball has done as much in that capacity to keep up with those two sports.
And the NFL and NBA are tailor-made for television, whereas baseball is better viewed in person. So because I remember going to a football game, and you know, the time they throw a bomb, it's incomplete, takes them 10 minutes to walk back to the huddle because there's a TV timeout. And you know, if it's cold, I want to be home. I don't want to be out there. So if it wasn't for TV, football's not all they say. Oh, baseball's boring and slow. So is every other sport if you're there in person watching what they do when the commercials are on. But let me switch a gear here. Baseball is my most favorite topic, as anybody will tell you, but we got a lot more to talk about, but I just wanted to bring up, before I forgot, I noticed you went to Millersville and speech communication, then you went to Penn State for journalism. Do you have a master's or are they two bachelors?
No, I didn't actually graduate from Penn State. Okay. I went to Penn State for 2.5 years and transferred to Millersville. My parents wanted me to, stay at home and, you know, finish my college education there. And I thought that was the right decision and finished up in Millersville.
Penn State, Maine, and my son's a senior this year. He goes to Penn State, Maine. Yeah, it's very
Penn
nice.
State, Maine.
Happy Valley's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
And I fall into the same type of lack of a master pedigree, too. I have two bachelors in separate fields. If they were the same field, you know. But those years of trying to status and all are beyond me. I could care less. The other thing I wanted to say about that was other topics you've written about, and it was almost a tongue-in-cheek thing that you did not intend. weird frame of mind pulled it out of a hat. Other topics: sports, business, leadership, crime, politics, and disability. I noticed that you do not have leadership and politics together. Is there a reason they're severed?
That wasn't purposeful, but at the same time, I think it speaks for itself.
Perfect mistake or oversight. It really hits home. And you published through Abrams Press. So your book is available on Abrams and also Amazon. Am I correct?
Yeah. Amazon bookstore, anywhere books are sold, this book's available.
Yeah. I want to talk to you guys, both of you, after the show, because I know you have some success with publishers. And I self-published my first. I'm writing my second. And I have some bites. I don't want to make the show about me, so we'll talk later. But I see that you've been successful, and that's interesting.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. We've been talking to our guest, Dan Good, and we've been having a damn good time. How about that? And we will be right back right after these commercial messages.
Hey Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Lady's Choice, so...
Okay, well if it's Lady's Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup, Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn, but not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full-body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft, call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Hi, this is Jay Rosenzweig, founder and CEO of BirthParentFinder.com. And I love going to Philadelphia, and I love turning on the radio and listening to Liberty Bell Smack, Talk 860.
back right here on Liberty Bell Smack. And we are still having that lip-smacking, trash-talking, good Philadelphia style right here on WWDBAM Talk 860. And for those folks who are on Facebook, you can find us right now live to see our wonderful faces of all of us right here on Liberty Bell Smack page or right on the WWDBAM Talk 860 Facebook page. So just know that you can do that. And gentlemen, I know you guys had a lot of testosterone, right? You did, because right now we're going to bring in some estrogen right here. Are you guys ready to handle that?
Welcome aboard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I hear they blend nicely.
They really do blend nicely. Here we go. She is a best-selling author, speaker, wellness coach, provocateur, gatherer, and an ordained reverend. She was born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, to Christian parents and is the eldest of four girls and graduated Beacon University with a Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies and a Bachelor of Arts degree in Communication, Civic Leadership from Columbus State University. She has been an oral English instructor at SIAS University in Zhengzhou, China. That's where she completed a two-year Bible study, teaching, and mission assignment for Chinese freshman students, where her sense of curiosity inhaled and later exhaled when returning to the practice of Western religion. This led her to author her own book, Lord, I Don't Want to Die a Christian, My Journal and Journey to Freedom. The admittance of questions and resolves thereof have done well in surrendering her a choice, Christianity or curiosity. Being a public speaker, she has appeared on numerous podcasts and radio shows that include the Candid Shop Podcast, Touchy Subjects Podcast, the Black Authors Rock Podcast, and Flow Working, the Entrepreneurs Podcast, to name a few. As a wellness coach, she continues to maintain a position at Columbus YMCA and AFLAC, where she creates and nurtures seamless and meaningful YMCA member experiences by demonstrating core values of caring, honesty, respect, and responsibility. She also initiates local events, providing her community's Black women trustworthy outdoor experiences. She loves to hike, swim, run, cycle, and is an introverted observer who also loves to connect with people for great conversation. She has been quoted, "I went to Asia to change Asia, but Asia changed me." Well, she's here today, folks. Can she change Philly as she talks smack with us three Italian radio hosts? Let's find out, and let's have a big Liberty Bell smack welcome to Chandrika Fia. How are you?
This introduction, unbelievable.
Well, thank you.
I mean, you reminded me of things I forgot about.
Well, that's good. That's what we're here for.
It's great to be here. I'm glad to be here. Listen, my love language is talking trash. And if I'm not talking trash to you, I don't like you.
That's great.
You know, Chandrika, first of all, we're blessed to have you in Philly alongside Dan there. And, you know, you're such an inspiration like he is. You're a beacon of light. But I'm going to throw some questions, what's going on in the country or maybe the world the last few years. I think it'd be safe to say aggression and violence has really accelerated. Accountability, communication, and integrity is kind of lost to a certain extent. It's just my opinion on it. But you motivating people, you trying to find the good in people, you trying to get the inspiration out there to make people feel good. In a world today where suicide's on the rise, mental health is on the rise, and everything I just threw in there, how do you combat all of those things and turn it into a way where somebody can say, you know what, I really need to listen to this lady?
That's a great question. You know, I think the thing is to always be authentic, particularly with my own story. From a clergy standpoint of view, often, there is no room or permission to be authentic, to share our own personal stories. You know, biblical stories are great and perhaps inspirational to some, but for the most part are irrelevant these days, especially among millennials. They want to know what you have experienced, what it is, what have I overcome? They want to know, they have questions of you and your experience and how you made it to where you are today, how you've continued to live and thrive through stressful situations, through depression, through suicidal thoughts. And you know, when we become transparent and authentic about our own stories, I think that is, that helps sway people in a way, gives them hope, you know, that if I made it through with the challenges I've had, then surely someone else can.
Well, and before I turn it over to Sal, I'll throw one more. I know my dad always used to tell me, he said, son, nobody really doesn't care what you know until they know you care. And being genuine, being authentic, getting in the trenches, you know, when we look at what's going on across the board today, faith is lost in more ways than one. I don't know how much faith people have in the government today, if you brought it out to the equation, but you know, if you can stay true to yourself, be an inspiration to others, I think the grassroots style is the way to get this message out, wouldn't you say?
I agree. You know, I don't know. I do often wonder where people are putting their faith if they aren't finding it in government. I don't know that faith is necessarily lost. I'm kind of on a mission to take that word back, because it doesn't just belong to religion. The word faith and believing just doesn't belong to spirituality. I think we're using faith daily. But often if we are only paying attention to what is making us uncomfortable, if we're only paying attention to the inconveniences versus all of the good and all of the God that is happening around us, then yeah, we might feel like faith is lost. But you know, being able to put our feet on the floor and see the sunshine again, you know, if we could pay attention sometimes to what is happening, what is good, then we could, I think that we would understand our faith is strong and strengthened.
Well, it's all perspective.
Sal, why don't you go, and then we'll bring it over to Dan to jump in.
It's all perspective. We all know that, you know, you and I can both be faced with the same scenario, and your attitude will make it a better one, and mine might make it a worse one. So perspective and attitude, it sounds corny, but it's so true.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure if I'm reading this right or not, Chandrika, but you're third generation. Really, you're an aunt or an uncle also. You're all ordained ministers? From your grandparents down?
I come from parents or family on both sides of clergy. Wow. My mother's side, lots of clergy. My father's side, clergy. My parents are pastors as well. Yes.
Well, and the book that you wrote, you know, the title can be construed a number of different ways. I have to admit, I did not read the book. I'm going to look for it. But maybe I read this wrong, but I sort of figured you were a little disgruntled. Lord, I don't want to die a Christian. And I heard an excerpt of a few of your pods. It seemed to me like you were upset that you couldn't give 10% of your revenue. You couldn't afford it. So you gave of yourself, which was better, I believe. And then your time in China, you saw conflicts and comparisons with Western culture. I'm guessing now, just so to correct me if I'm wrong. And this led to your quote, Christianity, your curiosity. Am I reading that correctly? Or?
Well, you are reading correctly, not necessarily perceiving correctly. I'm not necessarily disgruntled with tithing. It's something I grew up doing. So it was definitely a normal part of my life. But when I went to China, there was no opportunity to tithe as I had done for a large part of my life. And so I was just led to ask the question, if I had not been tithing, what had I been doing? Right. And I believe my heart, I believe God spoke to me and said that that I had finally surrendered all of who I am. Mm-hmm. And so that mattered more than the 10% I put in an envelope.
Oh, absolutely.
To put in a basket. I didn't realize that I hadn't surrendered all of who I am, but I then asked the question, why would I was giving 10%. can I keep at least 10% of myself? And so, you know, I asked the question, you know, if we are giving, if we're always doing this command or this tradition, are we really fully surrendered in our lives?
I guess the reason I was sort of confused a little bit because you spoke of growing out of the religion that you were born into, and that's why I misconstrued. I thought it sounded like you were disgruntled. And there was a great example. You spoke of the womb as having finite space, and that you felt like, you know, the safety of the womb was your religious experience gave you the same, but at some point in time, you have to leave that safety. And I think a lot of it had to do, you viewed the pulpit as a place of power, and men specifically did not want to relinquish that. So that's what made me think, you know, did she sound a little upset? That you weren't. You're a trailblazer. You want to change things for the good and you know, and sound it off. So I'm not going to ask the next question. Was were you upset at Christianity as a whole, or you know, the antiquated version of men dominating the pulpit? But you already answered that question, so I'm sorry. But do you still feel as though bringing that to the light? That I mean, you know, a reverend that feels powerful in the pulpit, I think is doing a disservice. I mean, if he uses his power, right? Yes. But, you know, it's generally perceived that if it's somebody who looks upon it as a, you know, a prophet or something that they can use, then, of course, that's a you know, a bastardized version of doing that. Do you feel bringing this to light has changed that at all?
Absolutely not. But it's a reality, I think, that is worth discussing. I don't write about it, but I did answer a question in an interview about why we aren't seeing more women in ministry or in places of leadership as it relates to religious Western religion. And my answer to that was because men, our clergy, men don't want to give up the perceived power in the pulpit. And that's just plain and simple. I remember the reaction to the answer, and everybody was blown away. I was like, what did I say? I don't think I said anything new. And so it's just rare that you find women celebrated in leadership in church, Western church religion.
And it has to do with the obstructions, not so much a lack of interest from females.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. We are 100%. Okay. Well, I shouldn't say 100%, you know, and I'm speaking, I don't want to speak for Western religion at large but there's a large part of Western religion where women do feel like they have more to offer as it relates to leadership in churches. And there's just no allowance for it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, I could tell you there's no shortage of women today here on Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. And we'll be right back with Marianne, Mark, Sal, and our special guest, Dan and Chandrika, right after this.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn, but not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft, call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Hey, Gina, what's the same but different, old but new, and gives you a familiar feeling?
The t-shirt you're wearing with all the holes in it?
Nice. No, it's the all-new Delco Cup. It's Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar. It's like 50 years old, Gina. That's as old as me.
Yeah, the Delco Cup. New look, new management. You're 51, Mickey. So I take it you want to go?
Kinda, but I know it's Thursday and it's Ladies' Choice, so...
Okay, well, if it's Ladies' Choice, Mickey, I choose a new t-shirt for you to wear.
The all-new Delco Cup, Delaware County's newest, oldest neighborhood bar, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield.
That's it. This is a Motor City Madmouth. When I'm in Philly, I listen to Liberty Bell Smack.
We are back at Liberty Bell Smack. WWDBAM Talk 860. We are here every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's prime time drive time for everybody in the East. And, you know, Mark, Sal, people see us on Facebook. And we have a special shout out to Ralph Williams. Wow. He is listening live. He said, hello, everybody. He's doing well. And it's good to see us again live. So I want to just share that out. And also, our producer gave me a little tidbit of information. I can't take any claim to fame for this, but don't know if there's any soccer fans out there, but they just announced Philly is hosting the 2026 FIFA or FIFA World Cup. So I thought that was interesting coming right out of Philly. So thank you, Brett, for that.
Go Italy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we are back. I'm Marian Costello, along with Mark Mancini and Sal Tartaglia, along with our special guest, Dan Good and Chandrika Fiat. And now we're just going to put it all in the mix, all of us all together. So take it away, guys.
Dan, you got a question? And then I'll go, and then we'll give it back to Sal.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I really focused on with my book was compassion. You know, my book is about somebody who struggled with substance abuse, with difficulties, with struggles. Chandrika, what do you think it means to have compassion in today's world? And, you know, how do we maintain that even amid the struggles that we're all facing?
You know, empathy is, I think, is a large part of compassion. Putting yourself in the shoes of another person. Remembering also often when it was you, you know, there is a scripture where Jesus is, tells, the crowd, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. So, you know, remember when it was you who, struggled and were challenged. I remember, and I write about this. I remember, talking to a young lady who, in China, who had found out that her boyfriend was cheating and her heart was broken. And I write regretfully that I forgot when my heart was broken, in a relationship. And so I really now try to work on, finding myself in the stories of others. How can I relate? And I think that helps, you know, fuel, if you will, or gives gas to compassion.
That's brilliant. That's great. It is. That's great.
Thank you.
You know, Chandrika, you know, you hear on the news and all this, I know we got the war going on in Ukraine and people have gone over there to try to help and try to do this. But I always say to myself, the minute you go over there and try to help, will I ever get back here? We've got a couple Americans now missing in Ukraine. When you went to a foreign country, when you went to Asia, and I talked to this to you about this before in an interview, and did you ever worry about your safety? Did you ever worry about anything, not knowing that you didn't have the U.S. government over here, you know, trying to get you back here? I know cities in our country could be, you know, detrimental as far as if you go into these, you know, rural parts and everything, but a foreign country, it's a little different. Any thoughts on that when you went to Asia?
I didn't have any concerns, like worries that I wouldn't be back. I think I was more so concerned about being invited back, and making sure I followed, if you will, the rules so that I could be invited back. I actually left when I did, so that I wouldn't get too comfortable. So that if I ever decided I wanted to go back to visit or to teach, I would be invited back. I went there to teach, and China does well to value education. And so if anything, I was trying to make sure to be sensitive and figure out how to be what I believed without wearing it so much. In the States here, we get to wear collars and crucifixes and t-shirts and car tags, and we get to say and show our religious affiliation. In China, doing that often attracted the wrong kind of attention. And so my trash cans were gone through, my email was tapped and phone was tapped, and I was followed to grocery stores. Because they, you know, the PSB wanted to know, or I believe, if I was going to start an underground church. And so I had to fix, if you will, some of the what was normal to me. I had to make some adjustments so that I could stay in the country and be as impactful as I wanted to be, but then also be invited back.
Well, thankfully, you were successful in that, and they found no fault. I want to switch a gear. Russia, where they're holding WNBA center Brittany Griner, who evidently did give them reason to find fault, whether, you know, whatever your opinion is on that's immaterial. But I noticed that the league finally started to get involved, speaking to politicians. Is there any reaching out from the religious community to try to help Ms. Griner?
I hadn't heard of any.
Because it couldn't.
And I think that's a great question. Yeah. I really love this question. Because it is obvious that Ms. Griner is same gender loving.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that a religious community had not reached out or tried to help. I've not heard of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it would have an effect in Russia. I mean, it would help with respect to getting the word out, which eventually is going to affect Russia. But I mean, with respect to the religion itself, you know, officially they're against it, you know, their government. I was just curious because, this is starting to gain momentum, and there's no doubt in my mind she's going to be returned safely. But because of this Ukraine thing, they're playing it out. They're using her as a political football. And she has been harmed, and she's been in touch with her family. So
right.
That's why I think it's a ploy, because if they were going to do something to her, it would have been done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just curious. Are you a sports fan at all?
Mark and I touched on that before the show. I love Oklahoma football.
Okay, good. And guess what? How about that softball team? Oh my God!
Right, we just won a championship.
Oh,
right,
that girl. What's her name? The Hawaiian Aho.
Yeah.
She 130 some homers in college. She's like the Babe Ruth of college softball. Oh
wow.
My God, it's amazing. Yes, I saw that you were born in Oklahoma City, so I figured if you had any affiliation, that's how I am as a child. I could move no matter where, I would still be a Phillies fan.
I'm down here in the South, and when OU plays someone in the South, I am right there in that living room.
I hear you,
kid. What?
I hear
trash
you.
Talking.
I hear you.
Let me ask you, if you had a choice to be on Philly or doing a podcast with Barry Switzer, where would you go?
Barry Switzer.
Come on,
absolutely, Barry. I have questions.
Hey, Mark, I guess what? I would go with her, so you three would be doing the show.
Well, that's okay. I'm with Dan and Marianne.
Boomer Sooner, all the way.
I hear you. Well, you picked a great franchise. I mean, a great program, because I think they have like seven national or six national titles. They're right up there. They're second or third, I think.
Hey, what's Dan like? Dan, what's your favorite team?
He's a Philly man. He's a Philly fan.
Yeah, no, I'm not a Phillies fan.
Okay.
I'm a Texas Rangers fan.
All right.
My dad was
go,
a Phillies
boy.
Fan.
Sticking with my Pirates, baby. There you go. There's the real true fans.
And as a Cowboys fan, sorry, everybody, Cowboys fan too. So I have questions for Barry Switzer about how bad of a job he did with the Cowboys. But
I know that was strange. What drew you to Texas?
I was reading a newspaper article about Nolan Ryan.
Okay.
This is in the early 90s, okay. And I pulled a baseball card of him, and I was like, oh, this guy's awesome.
Yes,
he's 47.
He is.
He's still pitching.
Yeah, yeah.
He became my favorite player. And then Juan Gonzalez won the home run derby in Baltimore.
Well,
and it's been, you know, three decades of misery ever since.
At least your affiliations match. You know, it's the same type of baseball, football, and the same. Of course, you picked the wrong football team, but we won't hold that against you.
Hey, one of the best baseball logos, that hat or that Stetson sitting on that baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Were you following them when you had Hamilton? That was a great story. His comeback,
oh, yeah.
MVP.
He was awesome.
Oh,
he was
that
so
was
much
a great story,
watch.
Man. For people that don't know, Josh Hamilton was in a crack house, and within 4 years, he was the MVP and in a World Series for the Texas Rangers. What a story.
Yep.
What a story.
Yep.
Marianne, are you going to chime in on anything?
I'm enjoying watching this go back and forth. It's like watching a tennis match, you know? It's really good. And you know, it's crazy, guys. It's because it's like the full hour is like almost done already, which is really crazy. So that's going to bring me to my next point is, Dan, if people want to find your books, I know that you mentioned, you know, they're on Amazon and things. How can they get in touch with you?
On Twitter, dgood73. And yeah, books are all over the place. Pick them up wherever books are sold, but dgood73.
That's easy. That's really good.
Yeah.
See, I did it again. I'm only kidding. And Chandrika, you know, how can we get in touch with you? You have a lot of places from what I saw.
I am on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Chandrika Deefy, and the book can be purchased at Amazon, Books a Million, a couple of other places. I'm like Dan, wherever books are sold.
Well, that's a good thing. I also have to tell you, Ralph Williams here is being a comedian here on Facebook for you guys. And he said he sent somebody to JT Auto Body. They mentioned the show and they got charged double.
That's that guy must have been from Nebraska.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
But he also says, and he wants to do a station ID because he's hearing it, and he says, I'm Ralph Williams. When I'm not in Philly, or if I am in Philly, I listen and watch Liberty Bell Smack.
Hey, Ralph.
This is what he's writing.
He's one of my new favorite fans. I like that.
I had to share that out because it's just really funny when they write things like this. He's also written too, and maybe you'll want to comment on this really quick. He says, I think President Biden should send in SEAL Team 6 to get that WNBA basketball player and our two former Marines helping in Ukraine that are missing that the Russians have. That's his comment for thought today. Just so you
know. That's the objective, but we can't comment on the way to do it because this is not a political show.
I want to know, Dan, who would you run away with if you could? I know you're married. If you could, because Chandrika is running the Barry Switzer. Who would you run with?
That's a tough one.
We don't have enough hours in this show.
No. I have no idea.
Well, if I had to go, it would be with, she's still beautiful. What's her name? The famous Italian actress? Oh, God.
Which one?
Oh.
Sophia Loren?
Yes, that's hands down.
She's great.
Hands down, that's right.
He's got her image in his head that he even forgot her name. Did you guys see that struggle right there?
She's right now. She hit her car. She's at Delco. JT Auto Body.
Absolutely. Well, Dan and Chandrika, it's been so wonderful having you guys on the show. And what we like to do at the end of every show is we like to have a countdown, and we'd love you guys to be part of that. Can you hang out for 2 minutes?
Sure.
Oh, God, this is great. I got to tell you, Mark, Sal, love the guest today. It's such diversity. It's nice to have more estrogen in the dream.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know, in this room here. Thank you, Chandrika.
Any room.
Well, you've got your mind on Sophia. You're out of here. That's how I look at it. And as Sal said earlier in the show, he has his book, The World Series Chronology, which he has decided to change the price, and it's gone down, which is really good. It's a great book, so pick it up wherever you can. Where can they pick that up, Sal?
Amazon for the time being. Just there Amazon. Yeah.
Absolutely, and I'm also going to throw in there, we just came back from tour from Nectar, the legendary rock band, The Other Side Tour. Just got off of Cruise to the Edge. That was a fabulous cruise. Rock cruise, 38 bands on board, never a dull moment. That was fantastic. We got to play, see great fans. And I'd like to tell you really quick, there was a Philly fan there. So as I was coming down the stairs, she says to me, you know, by any chance, you know, are you on WWDB? And being out in the middle of the ocean, who would hear of this? Wow. And I was like, yeah, how do you know that? She goes, I'm not stalking you. I am from Philly. And I actually listened to Liberty Bell something, whatever it's called.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, so it was kind of fun to see that in the Caribbean somewhere in the middle of the ocean.
That's
somebody
great.
Actually
exposure,
was
man. That's the lifeblood of the media.
She's going to give you a blank check.
Well, I hope so. Your lips to God's ears. That's
right.
How I look at that.
My Mark and Sal.
Well, we're going to also have a great show and guests coming on next week. So if people tune in next Thursday evening right here on WWDB, we're going to have that lip smack and trash talk in good Philadelphia style. Yet again, we will have sports journalist John Perotto on and president at Spanish Baseball. Is that baseball or baseball? That's the question. Yeah. Network. William Kulick, he will be on as well. So we should have some fun with that. So I guess we have to brush up on our Spanish for next week.
Yeah. 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 Also our foods and everything. And yeah, he does the Spanish broadcasting for the Phillies and Eagles. So that's going to get interesting.
That would get interesting. And we had an interesting show today with Dan Good and Chandrika Fia. Thank you so much. And guys, we're getting ready for our countdown here. And the way we do this is it's just like counting down on New Year's Eve. We go to 5, count down to 1, and we all say Liberty Bell Smack. All together this happens. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
We are ready.
Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liberty Bell Smack. That's what I'm talking about.